From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made on Monday when the city of Rochester celebrates its inaugural Indigenous Peoples Day. The holiday will coincide with Columbus Day, which has long been a federal holiday. Now, a growing list of American cities has decided to abolish Columbus Day in favor of Indigenous Peoples Day, on the grounds that Christopher Columbus proudly oversaw the genocide of Indigenous peoples and essentially invented the transatlantic slave trade. But Rochester will celebrate both holidays simultaneously. For some Italian Americans, Columbus Day is set aside to celebrate their heritage. A release from the Warren administration in Rochester says that Columbus Day has traditionally been an important way for Rochester's large Italian-American community to celebrate their heritage and contributions to our area. Monroe County, by the way, tells us they have no plans to change the Columbus Day observance. This hour, we're discussing what it means to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, what the holiday will entail in Rochester, and we know that certainly later this hour, we expect to hear from folks in the Italian-American community, and the phones will be open certainly for that. Kathy Castagna is in that community, I think, right, Kathy? She's with Surge Rock, standing up for racial justice and the Rochester Education Committee, and lead facilitator of the Opening Doors Diversity Project. And an Italian-American.
Absolutely.
Okay, make sure you're right on your mic for me, Kathy. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan, for having us.
You got it. Also with us, Peter Jemison, Historic Site Manager for Ganondagan. Peter, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Evan.
Also here is Ron Garrow, an Akwesasne Mohawk, the Bear Clan, an advisor with Surge Rock. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Welcome for having me back.
All right, and Ronnie Pollock is here with the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation, Eagle Clan, and Executive Director of the Native American Cultural Center, and host of Two Canoes with Ronnie Pollock. It's a talk radio show on 92.1 FM. Ronnie, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, I want to start by asking all of our guests around the table what this decision from the city of Rochester means, and if it is, it certainly is something that I think everyone at this table has been pushing for, been hoping to see. Rochester on Monday will make this inaugural holiday in the city official, Indigenous Peoples Day. Peter, sufficient? Is it a proud day? How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, I want to say that there's been a committee that has done the real work here, and I'm here to support them, but I want to acknowledge the work that was done by Kathleen and Ron and Ronnie, you know, to make this happen, and there are many others who were involved as well. Well, I think, you know, the first thing is that we have to begin to deal with a mythology which has been taught to all children throughout elementary school and beyond about, you know, the significance of Christopher Columbus, but, you know, very carefully omitting, you know, the kinds of consequences that resulted, especially during the second journey that Christopher Columbus made, particularly to the Arawak people. And so, you know, we gradually have to really begin to deal with the real story. We have to begin to deal with the truth. And so if this is a way to open that door to having a discussion about how do we teach this subject, how do we teach this whole concept of discovery when people are living there by the millions and somebody finds their way there, not actually looking for that place, of course. They're looking for something altogether different, but they find this island group of people. So, you know, it's a step. It's a simple step. And the fact that it's an acknowledgement that there are still Indigenous people here, reading the proclamation, it acknowledges that this was Seneca territory and it remains Seneca territory. So that's a good step.
Ronnie, how do you feel about it?
Yes. Yeah. First of all, too, I'd like to acknowledge the City of Rochester and Mayor Warren for this proclamation. This is a celebratory event that we all just came from the reading of that. That was at 11 a.m. today. So it's a pretty big, momentous moment, you know, a monumental moment of celebration. And I, you know, I just want to echo off of Peter's words, you know, the mythology and the education that is out there, that has been out there. You know, mistruths are hurtful. But however, righting wrongs is movement towards healing. And I feel like, you know, we've taken that initial step and that first step, you know, with the city of Rochester in the Mayor Warren proclaiming, making the proclamation for Indigenous Peoples Day.
If that's the first step, what's the more of a final step look like to you then?
Yeah, this is. It is a victorious first step. And I think moving forward, again, like I said, it's progress. And we would like to move towards a resolution.
Okay.
Ultimately, that would be the goal. I mean, I think that's what our Indigenous Peoples Day Planning Committee has agreed to, has committed to, and moving forward. Yeah, that's what our sights are set on.
Okay, Ron?
Yeah, I think that this is a great time, and I'm proud to be a city resident and to see this holiday be named Indigenous Peoples Day. Growing up as a student in city schools, I only got one half of the story, and this is definitely a step in the direction of getting a more fair representation of history. So I think it's a great thing.
Okay. Kathy?
And I also think it's a great thing, Evan. You know, as an Italian-American, I feel like I speak for some other Italian-Americans today, that there's multiple perspectives within our community, and that many of us out there are realizing that we also didn't get a true history about our group when we were growing up. And so by working with other cultures, sometimes we get to rediscover our own. And I've been on that journey for a while of rediscovering mine. I went to live in Sicily. I heard the stories of our history and those painful stories. And I realized that what was driving Columbus, what was behind him, was that greed and search for wealth that these monarchies were doing, that Christopher Columbus was really just a pawn in. We're also enslaving our people in southern Italy and Sicily. Nobody told me that. I am only now getting those stories of our true ancestry. And I feel like recognizing that in our Italian-American community is really important. So we're all about learning our histories so that we could create a better future. I recently read a quote that said, "I study history because I am interested in the future." And I am definitely interested in the future for Italian Americans and Native Americans and all people, that we go there with a just and true history.
As an Italian American, I want to ask you about some of the support for Columbus Day. And again, you don't speak for all Italian Americans. You know, to some degree, you speak for a portion of the Italian American community that supports this change, or maybe supports the elimination of Columbus Day eventually. But we also know, and Mary Chow wrote a story for the Democrat and Chronicle quoting some of the leaders in the Italian-American community saying this is important to celebrate their heritage, that this day matters to them, and that you would upset a lot of Italian-Americans if you eliminated Columbus Day. And I want to know what kind of conversations you have when you meet fellow Italian-Americans who say to you, "No, Kathy, this day matters to me. You can't take Columbus Day from us."
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to go into this with a lot of compassion. I understand our history in the U.S. I understand why we adopted Columbus. It was really hard. When our grandparents came in here, we were discriminated against really badly. I mean, Jerry Mangione talked about how they wouldn't even rent us apartments. We were living in tents. So we get that history, and also understanding the history where in 1937 they said, "Oh, good, look at, we can have now Columbus. He'll give us a firm footing here in this country. We won't be lynched. We won't be discriminated. We won't have all those things." And so I get why that history and why we chose to go there. There's no blaming anybody for that. That was survival. And, you know, there's a lot of compassion around that. And any Italian-American I'll meet, I will totally be compassionate about that. And now that we know a truer history that none of us were given in our schools, like I didn't learn a lot of this, that it's now time for us to soften that and also recognize that we've been given a lot of privileges here since that time. And we're not going to, you know, I think there's a lot of fear about, oh, my God, if we give him up, you know, he's just a symbol. And there's so many other Italian Americans we could be celebrating that are amazing people and not tied to genocide and enslavement of people. And I don't want to leave a legacy like that for my nieces, my nephews, my grandchildren. With that is the thing we celebrate. We have such a beautiful culture, and I kept reclaiming it when I was in Italy and seeing what amazing people we are. that's what needs to be celebrated. I don't want to have embarrassment around a hero that did that to other people as my symbol.
Well, I want to appeal directly to any listeners who, especially Italian-American listeners who maybe disagree or if you have a different view, because I think some of it, to Kathy's point, and to Ron's point in particular, when you get one part of a story, you only can know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And then Peter Jemison has been on this program so many times, and every time Peter and Ron and Kathy walk out of here, I feel like I've learned things. I go, how did I not get taught this growing up? But if you don't know, you don't know. The question is, once you start to learn, is there an opening to evolve, to change? And so in the past, when I've called Christopher Columbus one of the inventors of the transatlantic slave trade, people have emailed saying that's offensive to them. But it's just a fact. It's not. I mean, look at some of the numbers here. And, you know, I don't have all of the numbers, but on the island of Hispaniola alone, 97% of the indigenous population was destroyed, was murdered, was killed by 1517. That's hundreds of thousands of people on Hispaniola alone. I mean,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands.
It's an astounding number, you know, and it's really hard to, for people of any time period, to wrap your head around that, you know, that people were capable of doing that. It's a sad commentary on human beings, obviously. And I think Christine mentioned something too, which is this greed, you know, that greed, when it takes over, you know, people lose their minds and they start, monarchs especially, thinking that they have got to, you know, demonstrate some kind of superiority by how much they have, how much wealth they have, how many homes they have, how many, whatever it may be, that, you know, demonstrates to them that they are the kingpin, whatever it is. So this is a hard fact, you know, for people to face when we have to discuss this kind of a story. And so much of American history is very soft-pedaled. You know, it's a very careful avoiding of, you know, historical truths. And I guess, whether it's just a fear that if we start to acknowledge these things, we then begin to lose our grip on the land, on the territory. How do we justify that all of that happened and yet we rightfully took the land? I mean, I think that it always comes back to land. It always comes back to who has a right to the land that we're on. That's my opinion.
Okay. And as a little bit of an experiment for listeners, if you've got kids in the public schools, particularly grade school, as I do, I would love for you to email me in the next few days. Ask your kids what they're taught about Christopher Columbus. I'm very curious about that. My son's in first grade. I had a very interesting conversation a year ago with him because a lot of public school kids are going to be off tomorrow and Monday. I would love to know. So if you get that chance, please email me, edawson@wxxi.org. I would love to know what your kids are learning about Christopher Columbus and his legacy and what he did in grade school. And then if you want, let me know if you're satisfied with what your kids are learning. It is certainly interesting. Can we, I will ask the panel next, Ron, Ronnie, can we have a holiday on Monday that celebrates both indigenous peoples and the man who enslaved and murdered hundreds of thousands of indigenous people? Can you have both in Rochester?
I don't think it... I mean, to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, again, it brings such honoring and such recognition, you know, where we are no longer invisible. Because I think, unfortunately, the hard truth is that we've been invisible on our land for far too long. And so with this recognition, some of that invisibility begins to fall off. Excuse me. So to have that recognition, I believe, completely honors and somewhat also legitimizes our ancestors. So to have to be able to share the day, so to speak, I echo what Kathleen was sharing, is that there is so much more to celebrate in the Italian-American community and the Italian-American heritage that doesn't have to be related to Columbus. And I don't think it's about, you know, slighting one side or diminishing one side and saying, well, no, you don't get the right to do that. I think it's more positive spin to say, well, my gosh, there's so many more beautiful aspects of your culture that could be celebrated in so many other legitimate heroes that didn't cause such destruction and genocide and other evil things, you know, that could be celebrated and that could be recognized as your hero.
Kathy's got a long list already, if anybody wants to know.
I do.
Ron, how do you feel about celebrating both days at the same time?
I think your question was, are we going to be able to do it?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to do it because it is what it is. And, I mean, we're going to do what we can do. And it seems like the Italian-Americans have their events and they have out at their Rotary Club, I think, out in Gates.
The Italian-American Club, yeah.
The Italian-American Club. And we're going to have our events. We're having events over at Duran Eastman Park in the morning. We're having an event at the Native American Culture Center. And we're showing a movie, The Eagle and the Condor, at the St. Gudley Hall in Irondequoit. And those are some of the events that we have planned for Indigenous Peoples Day. And I guess we have to peacefully coexist. And I think that this gives the opportunity for Italian Americans to find they can take a look at this and maybe they can find a day that they can start that doesn't have a negative aspect to it, where they can have an Italian American Heritage Day and celebrate some of the other great Italian Americans.
Yeah, okay. So, again, it's 844-295-TALK, listeners, if you want to join the conversation about the inaugural in Rochester Indigenous Peoples Day, which is Monday, of course. It'll coincide with Columbus Day in the city of Rochester. Monroe County not making any changes that we are aware of. 844-295-TALK, it's toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. As an educator, Kathy, I was in Barcelona in March with the WXXI Travel Club. There are statues of Christopher Columbus. It felt like all over Barcelona. I mean, there's several prominent statues of Christopher Columbus.
So,
I kind of just wanted to ask you, you know, I don't know when those statues went up, a long time ago, I'm sure. Grappling with history. Mm-hmm. And deciding how you want to better understand it as I would hope that we mature and evolve is hard. But why do you think that status quo prevails for so long once we do get the better? It's almost like I think about climate change, what Adam Frank likes to tell us, which is when we didn't know what was happening when we burned fossil fuel, we couldn't sit there and shake a finger at ourselves for not knowing that we're polluting. You might say you should have known, but if you didn't know, well, now scientifically you know. When are you going to change? And it's the same kind of concept.
Well, I'm glad you asked that because, Italy's a complex place. So the more I read the history of Italy, so we weren't unified for a long time. And the southern part of Italy and Sicily, which is where most of the people who live in Rochester are descended from, was never a part of what northern Italy was about, right? So Christopher Columbus was from Northern Italy. Northern Italy really discriminated against the South, and they still do to some degree. And so our people were the peasants. We were the people going in those sulfur mines and doing that. We weren't even allowed to own land. So when Peter talked about land and how important land is, we couldn't own land there either. It was like we were always controlled. It was an island that had one monarchy after another in control of Sicily and southern Italy. I mean, some people said, Italy stops at Rome. The rest is Africa. That's how it was told by the northern Italians. So that they're honoring Columbus up there, from what I've heard, in Genoa, they're not. I mean, I've heard that Genoa is like, what? You know, we don't want to do this. So it's a complex
place. But in Spain, they do. In Barcelona, they do.
Oh, absolutely. And so in Barcelona and Spain, they were, part of the early 1792 when they were wanting to really make money off of Columbus. So they had a big exposition, and the United States just lapped on to that one. And so Vanderbilt and others invested money. And then in the World's Fair in 1892, they did this whole big extravaganza on Columbus. Before that, he was sort of a hidden guy. And then Spain brought this all out. And, Italians here jumped on it. I'll tell you that Northern, Italy, Genoa, they're not even doing it. And I think, you know, again, we, the people in Rochester, are not descended from that, you know, those places. Matter of fact, Spain was one of the ones that controlled our community and had the Spanish Inquisition in Sicily around that same time under Ferdinand. So, yeah, I mean, reading those histories, you go like, wow, our ancestors are calling us to make the wrong right. You know, it's like they're the ones that are saying, no, 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 you know, make this wrong right. So,
well, let me get a phone call from someone who has a different perspective on this. It's John and Victor. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I have a real problem with, you know, this reinterpretation of history. Christopher Columbus was a relatively, you know, inauspicious individual during his time. He was an explorer. He was desperately looking for someone to finance his dream of exploring a better route to India. And quite frankly, you know, he's now vilified in your conversation as, you know, being a murderer and enslaving people. He himself didn't do that. He was a pawn in a much larger era of exploration and conquest that, you know, really had a little to do with him per se. He was searching for money. He couldn't find it in any city-state in Italy, and Italy was not even a country then, quite frankly. And so he went to Spain, and Ferdinand and Isabella had designs on finding riches in the so-called New World or India, wherever, and so they financed his trip. So Christopher Columbus shouldn't be vilified.
So, John, I'm listening, but I want to ask you a couple questions here. Who is responsible, if Columbus is leading those expeditions, who's responsible for the murder of hundreds of thousands of indigenous people?
Well, Christopher Columbus himself, nor did the people on the first three boats didn't slaughter indigenous people.
I'm not certain Joseph Stalin murdered anybody himself. Who's responsible for the people who died is what I'm asking you.
Well, I think it represents a much larger picture than just Christopher Columbus. It represents an era in which the European leaders wanted to exploit whatever was out there. And so I think you could actually hold the people responsible with people who sponsored the trips. But he himself should not be vilified as this evil man. All he did was just an explorer. And so, you know, think about it. I mean, let's not reductio ad absurdum here. This guy was a guy who couldn't find financing and basically said, well, anybody give me some money to go and explore, because he wanted to explore and find a route to India.
Okay, and but so, John, I'm actually responding to the historical account, and I've read a lot of historical accounts. I'm not, you know, sort of saying, well, Columbus led this exhibition, hundreds of thousands of indigenous people died, I'll blame Columbus, even though there's a really good case for blaming the leader of an expedition if that happens. I'm reading the actual accounts from the people who were there and from Columbus's own words. And the only conclusion I can draw is that he did not view his fellow human beings as anything other than property, women something to exploit, the men something to use as labor or to be exploited or killed, and was happy to do it. I don't understand how I'm supposed to. And again, I'm not trying to be combative. I'm just trying to be direct about history. Help me see why that's not correct.
And I think that was probably the view of many leaders and many people during that era. I think that exploitation of conquered people was the MO for most of the leaders of Europe since the fall of the Roman Empire throughout the Dark Ages. And then probably until, well, you can't even say when did it stop, but it was all about conquest. And unfortunately, that was the MO for most of mankind. So, you know, I honestly think we actually have to look at things in the context of which they occurred, in the period in which they occurred. Their worldview was very different than our worldview. We should learn from them, learn the things that were not good and what they did, and actually not repeat them in our era. That's what we should learn from history. Christopher Columbus, I agree, is not the perfect person to glorify Italian culture. There's so many wonderful things about Italian culture. There's some bad things about Italian. I'm an Italian-American. I'm very proud of my heritage. But there's also a lot of things that are not so good about Italian heritage, just as there are a lot of things that are not so good about any culture. Native American culture did a lot of horrible things to each other. They did a lot of warring in between each other and killed a lot of their own people. There was a lot of genocide and fratricide within the Seneca Nation in New York State. The Seneca were very angry and threatened the Oneida and the Onondaga for siding with the Americans, whereas the Seneca sided with the British during the Revolutionary War. So we could vilify any culture. Any culture has done horrible things to its fellow man. What we need to do is learn from those things and move forward, not continually, destroy any good that they may have done.
All right, so John, hang there for a sec. I appreciate the phone call. Peter Jemison from Ganon again wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, John, my biggest concern about the things you've said is that is not what is currently being taught in most elementary schools when this subject is first introduced to children. What is being taught is this kind of cleaned up version of him going in search of spices, an alternate route to the east, and then, coming upon an island of people and discovering America. I mean, that's the line that I'm sad to say is the one that is still being repeated to most school children. There are schools that are exceptions to that. We deal with a lot of schools at Ganondagan, John. I've got to tell you, from the beginning of, from the middle of September until the end of October, we have school groups morning and afternoon. In the spring, the same thing. These are fourth graders coming from all of the suburban schools, all of the towns, from the city of Rochester. And I can tell you, we've got a pretty good handle on the kind of courses and the way in which things are taught to children. So we're not making this up.
Right.
When does the change begin, John?
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to put things in a slightly different light. There seems to be an attempt in America to now just, tear down everything that we learned in history and reinterpret it in the context of what we believe now. And I think that's unfair to history, because history, certainly has a lot of bad things about it. And hopefully we can learn from those things and be better people moving forward. There's just this attempt. Somebody said something earlier today on a TV show, I can't remember where it was, or a radio show, that, let's not rename Columbus Day. Let's have a Native American Day. Let's start a separate holiday to highlight Native American culture and their attributes in the New World. That might be a better way of doing this rather than, maybe erase Columbus Day. Columbus Day, I think, for a lot of people, symbolizes a lot more than what necessarily Christopher Columbus actually did.
So John, one more quick question for you, because I've got to move on, but I do want to ask you. I understand sort of intellectually the concern that if you reframe morality in 2018 terms, whether you're looking at 1950 or 1650 or 1450, it's easy to mistake the common norms of the time, which I think is at times a valid concern, and at times I think it's a dodge. And I want to ask you what it would take for you to decide Christopher Columbus was probably not a good enough guy to put on a holiday, and what would you have to learn about him to decide we should not be honoring this guy?
Let me just answer that with another question. Every single leader that we have exalted, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Martin Luther King, any one of those people that we have exalted and given holidays to have dark, dark things in their closets, have done terrible things. And we have made them, we have deified them. And also, we're trying to tear them down, too, now, but in some ways. But every single one of those leaders have dark secrets and sad things in their history.
True.
So at what point do we say, no man should have any holiday named after them.
No,
not have any holiday.
I think your concern is valid, but I also think this is a dodge. I'm with you on no one's perfect, and if you're looking for purity tests and you and that's the standard, you will honor no one. I'm with you on that, but this is a situation where you've got indigenous peoples who feel like we have exalted a man who led the slaughter of their people by the hundreds of thousands. And if you're just going, look, everybody had problems. I mean, I stole something from a corner store when I was 12. Who among us? That's not the stand. I just want to know from you what it would take. I'm not hearing what it would take to at least say, look, everybody's got problems. No one's perfect. No one can be perfect. But with Columbus, this is where I draw the line. We shouldn't be honoring him. What's that line?
I think to answer your question directly, if Christopher Columbus, if there's documented historical data that shows me that he led expeditions that slaughtered people, that slaughtered villages, that killed people, he himself directed that, then I would agree. He is not the kind of leader we were taught in grammar school. I would totally agree with that. If there is documented historical evidence.
All right, John. Thank you. Thank you. And I got a roll here, John. Thank you for the phone call. Go ahead, Kathy.
So, John, there's so much evidence now that's come out. Maybe we're just doing a better job of collecting it and disseminating it. But I just want to read you a quote that Christopher Columbus said. This is in a journal by Las Casas, who was with him. And he was talking about the Arawak people. And he said, "They do not bear arms. They do not know them. They have no iron. Their spears are made of cane. They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want." So, that's just one piece of it. And, he was driven, like you said, by these larger systems of control and power and wealth.
And that's true, yeah.
And so we understand that, but he in some way colluded with it. And the question comes back, we are such a beautiful culture. Do we really want him to be our symbol? It's not what many of us want on this day. We want all those other fine people who contributed. And yeah, they were complicated. And it's not an either-or discussion, but at the same time, there's so much evidence about Columbus.
All right, let me ask our other guest. Ron, go ahead.
Well, John, I want to speak to the piece where you're talking about Native Americans have a past where they were not doing very nice things to each other ourselves, and I have to agree. And then we received a visit from a man named the Peacemaker. He came from across the lake, and he landed right here near Rochester, New York. And he brought peace to the warring nations, and we formed the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and our flag is flying above City Hall as we speak. And the man is the Peacemaker, and he brought peace to our people. And I will be telling this story at 10 o'clock at Durand Eastman. I invite you to come down and join me, and I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also think, too, John, as far as evidence is concerned, what we were talking about, we can go back to the Papal Bull that was issued in May of 1493 by Pope Alexander that granted to the Catholic Majesties, Ferdinand and Isabella, that, they could go ahead and conquer. And, a lot of what that consisted of was any non-Christian people discovered by European explorers were to be vanquished and subjugated. As far as evidence is concerned, there's some documented, forms that exist is in the form of the Papal Bull.
Yeah, and again, as I get ready to take our only break of the hour, if you're on the phone, I want to take your calls coming up here. I do want to ask our guests, right when we come back from break, we're going to ask them to tell you about what they are most looking forward to on Monday in Rochester's first Indigenous Peoples Day, which was officially proclaimed by the city of Rochester today. In fact, our guest came from a ceremony just this morning at City Hall, led by the Warren administration. So Monday in Rochester is Columbus Day. It is also Indigenous Peoples Day, and Rochester joins a list of dozens of American cities that will now honor Indigenous Peoples Day. They're not choosing in Rochester to get rid of Columbus Day, and the mayor says she understands that a lot of Italian Americans put a lot of importance in Columbus Day, and she wants to honor that as well here. Let's do this. Let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back to your phone calls as well. We'll tell you about these events coming up on Monday. A lot of feedback in a lot of different directions here, and I will just reiterate to John and callers like him, we want to have good, open discussion here, and I'm trying to absolutely be open-minded here. But if you read Christopher Columbus's own writings in his own pen, you don't even need Bartolomeo de las Casas, who was a very helpful journalist of the time. But you read his own hand, it's hard to come up with another conclusion here about what he was doing. So let's get that break. We'll come back right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections. When Americans talk about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination, it's one thing. When you hear attorneys talking about it, no matter their ideology, they tend to focus on very different parts of the hearings, evidence, and more. And we'll discuss Kavanaugh with attorneys first hour. Second hour, a new play focuses on the life of Dr. Ruth, and we'll talk about sex ed and what has changed in our country. That's Friday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before we get back to your phone calls, I want to ask our guests what they're most looking forward to on Monday. It's Indigenous Peoples Day in the city of Rochester, officially proclaimed. Ronnie, what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, I really see it as part of a liberation, if you will, and looking forward to celebrating that. So at the Native American Cultural Center, we will be having our first annual Indigenous Peoples Day celebration. So you can come join us starting at noon. We will have, and very honored to have Peter Jemison to come and give the Thanksgiving address. Followed by that, we'll be doing some singing and dancing led by Craig Marvin, a member of our community. And then we'll end with some celebratory corn soup and chili. So we'd love to have you come out, celebrate with us, join in this momentous occasion.
Okay. Peter, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'll be there, of course, at the Native American Cultural Center. I think just the notion that, you know, the city of Rochester took a brave step, and they were urged very strongly to look at that, and they made a decision to do it. And, you know, politics being what it is, it's brave of them to make a change and to say it's time to acknowledge Native Americans and to have the mayor, you know, issue a proclamation, stand before television cameras and say this. And, you know, really say it with emphasis, I think. You know, so you can't help but feel there's some will to change, you know. And that's what I would look for, is that we are beginning a change. And we'll have to build upon this. This is just the first step.
Ron?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it being the first annual Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm having an event down at Duran Eastman Park, our Indigenous Peoples Plan Committee. We've planned some things, and I'm going to be doing this, as I share with John, the story of the peacemaker and how he brought peace to our warring nations, and we formed the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and I'll be telling that story. And then also we're going to be having showing a movie later on in the day, The Eagle and the Condor, with Paulette Moore, who was a guest in the studio at one time, and she's going to be doing a simulcast, and well, we're going to be watching that as well.
And Kathy Castagna.
Well, everything that everybody said, I think it's going to be an amazing day, and one where we as non-Native people, I hope, will come, show up, learn, listen. Like, it's our time to really just listen and take it in. One of the benefits of having worked together so closely over these past few months, actually since last April, our committee it was formed recognizing that we are a multiracial team, that we're creating a cross-racial group, and that we had to be very sensitive to that, and we had to learn how to be with each other. And this day for me is a great, you know, opportunity for all of us to really come together and honor other people's culture and to just soak it in and learn all those things that we never learned growing up. And I just want to give a plug here for the fact that when we went out and asked for groups in our community to help sponsor the film at the end of the day, 14 organizations signed on immediately. And so it feels like there's lots and lots of support by our community for this day.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and get back to your phone calls now, and we'll try to move through as many as we can here. Pat in Rochester. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you for the really insightful questions that you are asking of the panel members there. I'm very impressed. The way I see it, we have two issues here. Do we want to celebrate Italians, and do we want to celebrate Columbus? And they don't have to be synonymous. One of the things that I want, I didn't hear this introduced. If it was and I missed it, I'm sorry. But I also wanted to introduce the whole doctrine of discovery, which was issued at that time by as a papal bull out of Rome, giving permission to plunder. And if the people in the lands where these explorers went, if they were not Christians, there you had permission to do the things that Columbus did. And I think that that's another thing that has to be looked at down the line, is getting the rescinding of that particular papal bull, which still is on the books, so to speak. And also I wanted to have people remember, Italian people, that the wealth that was plundered did not necessarily go to help them in any way. It went to Spain. And so, you know, it just seems like, it seems to me it is an odd person to honor for such a wonderful, vibrant culture. I mean, the Italian culture is one that gives so much wonderfulness to our community, and it seems very strange. And the thing that makes me take another look is, I'm from a German ethnic background. Enough said? So, I'm so excited about the fact that our mayor stepped up to the plate. And this isn't the first time she's done this for the disenfranchised. I mean, you know, we remember early on when she declared Rochester a sanctuary city, and the cost to our city could have been great, but she bravely did it. So I fully expected she would do this because that's who she is.
Well, Pat, thank you for the phone call. And I, as far as my knowledge is correct here, Rochester is the largest city in New York State, I think, to honor Indigenous Peoples Day. So, again, that's Monday. Just some thoughts there on the Kathy, that kind of goes along the lines of what you've said earlier, which is that Italian culture should be celebrated. And there's a lot of different ways that we could do that.
My daughter came home one day after St. Patrick's Day party and said, "Wow, that was really fun. Gee, all we have is Columbus, and I know the history, Mom, and it doesn't feel fun to me. And I don't want that." You know, she's been to Sicily with me a couple times. She knows what it's like there. It is amazing. And so, yeah, Pat is so right. You know, we have so much opportunity here. This is our liberation, too. That's what I would say to any Italian. We're getting liberated here to really be able to share the beauty and all the contributions that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have made. So, you know, it's our chance, and I think we need to really see it as that.
Looking at your emails, we got a number of emails saying essentially, three cheers for Rochester and the Warren administration for doing this. Jim writes and says, it appears we should blame the church since it gave permission for Columbus's atrocities.
Yeah, there are people who are actively working to get the papal bull rescinded. There's a man by the name of Steve Newcomb who has written a number of books and has, you know, been actively engaged in this. The church has really kind of waffled on this one. I have to say they kind of hear it. They you know, recognize that there needs to be change. But as far as bringing that about, I don't even think the current pope, as liberal as he seems, is about to do this. There's just, again, it's too politically difficult to pull that off.
Doug writes to us and says, "I'm an elementary teacher in Victor. For years in Victor, I've used the book Encounter,
yes,
by Jane Yolen, which tells the arrival of Columbus from the perspective of an Indigenous child. This book, in a simple way, gets across in an appropriate way for this age level the ability to understand that Columbus was not the hero that we have always imagined." So the book is Encounter.
Great suggestion.
And I just want to add, my granddaughter introduced me to that book. She's in school 15 in Rochester, and that's the book they use as well, the children's school. So.
All right, so there you go. If you want to look for something that's more age-appropriate, Encounter is the book. Back to your phone calls, and Dave in Rochester. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I personally am originally from Rochester. I'm Italian on my father's side, and I'm Blackfoot and Sioux on my mother's side. So I kind of, you know, have both sides inside of me of this issue. But I currently live in South America, and I've done tours and academic research as far as the indigenous peoples, mostly in the Andes, but for the rest of Latin America as well, where Columbus was actually the governor at the time. The attitude down there towards Columbus is very different than it is here. Obviously, you've mentioned on your show that people look at him now, for whatever reason, more as a hero. Whereas down there, most people only really know his name, and the people that do know anything about him just know that he was kind of a jerk that instituted a lot of institutional racism that to this day still indirectly affects most of the populations down there, creating classes of people that he instituted indirectly, as far as like the color of the skin, meaning where somebody fell on a social and even a legal level. But as far as for the most part, he's just considered man of his time, you know, kind of like Cortez, Pizarro, but not anything like that. I've never seen any statues to him. I've never seen anyone who even knew anything about him other than the fact that he was Spanish. In fact, when I tell people he was Italian, they don't believe me. But they celebrate more people who had more of an effect later on, like Simon Bolivar and people like that who actually, you know, did good for the people and don't even really even pay attention to Columbus.
Wow. Dave, what a unique perspective you bring, and I appreciate that phone call. Thank you. You said you live in South America now.
Yes, currently live in Ecuador. I'm just here to visit my family, actually.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you for listening and for sharing your perspective. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Ron.
I actually, through school, and I went to Wilson Magnet High School, I took a trip to San Salvador, Bahamas, where I studied marine biology for a couple of weeks. And that is the island where it said Christopher Columbus landed. And there is a monument there that said this is the beach where Columbus landed. It's a huge monument, and I'm not sure who put it up, but I seriously doubt it was the Taino people.
I think that's a safe assumption. Let me read one more email, and our guests can share some final thoughts with you. Malcolm writes, my maternal grandfather immigrated to America when he was 5. The first immigrant to America from my father's side was a Jacobite rebel who fled from Northern Ireland following the defeat of the Jacobites in Scotland in 1746. The tragic history of the destruction of Highland culture post-1746 gives me deep sympathy and respect for the original Americans, who in many ways were similar to the Highlanders and who suffered an even worse fate. Celebrating Indigenous people on Columbus Day is a great first step to increasing awareness and respect for Iroquois culture and other Native Americans. Young children must be carefully taught this history, however. If teachers can accurately convey the history without making kids feel unnecessarily victimized or guilty, we will be making great strides toward the reconciliation between descendants of the oppressors and the oppressed, end quote. Peter, you do a lot of education. How do you feel about that perspective?
I like his perspective, and I recognize, you know, the challenge of telling, let's just say, a first grader a story like the kind of story which, you know, has to ensue when you talk about the second voyage of Columbus. I mean, what first grader really wants to hear this story of the cutting off of hands and, you know, all of the terrible things? It's really, you know, something that you could scar a child by, you know, the extreme that you might have to go to. And I fully appreciate that. How do you convey what this really meant and what really happened? And so it's a challenge. I agree. It's not one we take up because we really have to talk about a later time period again and again, and we talk about an even later time period. But we do go back to Ron's, you know, Journey of the Peacemaker, you know, of over 1,000 years ago. We start with that kind of a story to tell people. You know, I want to real quick say this. I lived in Italy, okay? I lived in Tuscany. I went to the University of Siena. I lived in an Italian family that did not speak English, and I had to learn their language in order for me to communicate with them. Columbus Day came and went, and there was absolutely no acknowledgement of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none. I would stand with, I called him my father, the man of the house, outside of the Monte de Paschi, the main bank in the center of Siena. And he would look at the Sicilians that were standing there, and you could tell them always because they wore these leather chaps over their calves because they were herding sheep and because they were working out, you know, outdoors all the time. And his main comment about them was, tutti communista, tutti communista. He still looked down upon them because, you know, they happened to vote communist and he was a Christian Democrat. So, you know, this kind of discrimination was going on still up until, these were in the 60s when I experienced this. I worked with Italian Americans in a canning factory. We were all sharing the same salary, $1 an hour, okay? And there was a group of people who lived in a kind of a communal setting that came from Italy and worked in this canning factory. So, you know, I know it was a tough go. It was a very tough go for the people that came here. I guess I just wanted to say that.
Well, I think it's a fitting coda for the hour, and our guests are all here because the city of Rochester's made this decision to coincide Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. That's Monday, and that's official now, and our guests have been working very hard on that, and Ronnie and Ron and Kathy and Peter all sharing their stories. Ron Garrow from among many organizations, an advisor with Surge Rock that's been doing this work. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate the time here.
Thank you for having me.
Always nice having you. Ronnie Pollack, who you can hear Ronnie on 92.1 FM, WYSL, talk radio herself, Two Canoes. When, by the way?
You can hear that on Friday and Saturday evenings at 8 p.m., or you can also visit the website, and there's a podcast available anytime.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
Peter,
having
we'll
me.
See you at Ganund again. Thank you. And Kathy
thank
from
you,
Surge Rock,
thank you so much, Evan.
All right. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.